Good morning. It's an honor and a delight for me to be with you today. I cherish every opportunity that I have to share with our EMCC churches. And the reason for that is because as I am about my business and what I need to do and what I'm called to do by the Lord Jesus Christ, it is you behind me that make my job possible. And so it was not a hardship for me to get up early this morning and to come. This was arranged before I knew I was going to El Salvador, and I wasn't about to cancel this, because as far as I'm concerned, this is a privilege and an honor that I did not want to miss. So thank you very much for this privilege. The scripture passage that was read to us this morning in Isaiah is indeed laced with challenge. It's deep with directive, but it's also deep with encouragement and with great hope. And I truly believe that as we obey God and as we follow God and as we do His heart and His will, that there's enormous blessing and hope comes out of that. In fact, the scripture promises that His Spirit flows full and free when we go about obeying God and doing His work. And you know what? I know that you are about that. Because just in reading through your bulletin this morning, I was so blessed to realize that you are about your own community and that you are also about global. And as I walk through some of these stories this morning, I know you will absolutely feel connected. And you will hear parts and stories that you didn't even know that you were connected with. And that was one of the reasons as well why I would not have missed coming here today. Because I do believe that I this morning am the bearer of blessing to you because of things that you have been involved in and are doing. And would I cheat you of that? Not for anything in the world. Because God wants to bless you. In fact, I love the scripture verse where it says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, looking to strongly support those whose hearts are completely committed to Him. And I pray this morning that you will have a fresh sense of God's eyes resting on community, on Living Water Community Church. And that He is here to strongly support you as you give your heart and your life to Him. And I know you do that just from the things I've read in the bulletin. So thank you for blessing my heart and encouraging my heart. I've already been enormously blessed just being here this morning. It's already been full and rich, and we could indeed leave here without needing to hear anything more. But you know what? There's some nuggets left that God wants us to hear this morning. And so I trust that as we walk through that together, we will know what those are. So may God open your heart anew, afresh, may encourage you, challenge you, bless you, and lead you on today where He wants you to go. And yes, we are a part of the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada, and we are on mission together. And you are absolutely right that it doesn't matter about shingles and denominational names, but it is about structure, and it is who we are partnering with, and it gives us a sense of family, and it gives us togetherness as we walk together, and we are on mission together, and I trust you'll be blessed and encouraged with that. And our mission statement, it's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to read and to memorize and to be reminded of. What's that? Am I in a bad place? Okay, where do you want me to go?
Back here?
All right. Are we good now? Thank you. And you can tell me anything else that happens to go wrong here, because you know what? I just keep going. So if the pictures and stuff don't follow with what I'm saying, I trust God will help you sort it out. EMCC is what? Passionately committed to introducing people to Jesus Christ, discipling believers, and facilitating the multiplication of healthy churches in Canada and worldwide. And passionately committed is not about us gritting our teeth and saying, okay, I'm really going to do this. I'm going to muster up some sort of emotion to keep going. Passionately committed means that we believe in the mandate that Jesus Christ has given us in Scripture. That's what passionately committed is all about. And as we believe that and stay solely focused on who Jesus Christ is and what He has asked us to do, we will indeed know what that means. And it is a world that God loves. Sometimes I think we get hung up fairly easily on the fact that God loves me, and He does. And I am deeply and eternally grateful for that this morning, and I know you are as well. God does love you individually, and for you to own that is one of the most beautiful things that could ever happen. But in so doing, sometimes we forget that scripture, John 3:16, that we so readily quote, says that God loves the world. And if I stop at the fact that God loves me, I forget that God loves the world. Not just me, but absolutely every human being that walks on the face of the earth. And so let's take a fresh look at that again this morning and remember that God, His love is not just randomly placed throughout the earth and it happened to rest on me and on you. But it's absolutely for every human being on the face of the earth. And it's our responsibility to share that with whoever's lives we touch. And yes, we can't all go to the ends of the earth, perhaps physically. But you can go to the ends of the earth in other ways. And you have gone to the ends of the earth. And I'll show you that this morning in a variety of ways. EMCC Ministries is World Partners. That's our global agency that you are involved in many ways. And EMCC Relief and Development that has been beautifully focused this morning. And you will actually hear some stories directly out of Relief and Development and things that have happened because of your involvement there. And primarily we'll be focusing on EMCC volunteer teams and how they have meshed with Relief and Development, and many of the teams that we take out and are involved in indeed come out of Relief and Development and volunteer or EMCC women and EMCC youth. We're about a lot of beautiful things happening across the globe and in our communities through our denomination. The focus of volunteer teams is to connect and empower EMCC congregations such as you in disciple-making and cross-cultural and global ministry. And some of the types of teams that we're involved in is ministry teams, and you'll hear stories about that, and building teams, and excuse me, and medical teams and prayer discovery teams, which incidentally our NAN team, which Gerald Brulat is on, and I was so pleased to see the prayer request in the bulletin of his father recently passing away. And I know that your prayers will have been behind him, and Gerald will feel that impact as he stays in NAN and fulfills and continues to bring leadership to that team. I know that, and you'll hear stories of the impact of your prayers in people's lives, and be blessed this morning in knowing that you are carrying Gerald until he can be back home with his family. One of our primary goals is to encourage our EMCC family to discover God's purpose for the world and for them, and to catch a vision of God at work in the world. And I want to share just a little story with you this morning. Excuse me. Simply because, as I read in your bulletin, one of the prayer items that you have is to pray for the persecuted church throughout the world. And so since it's there, I know that you are doing that. And one of the specific prayer requests is that our national pastors will continue to sense and know the love of God in their life. Let me tell you a story. I recently returned from Tanzania, and upon arrival in that country, six local pastors met us at the airport. I was so blessed and so humbled by that, because usually when we go out, we go fully equipped and armed to bless those whose lives we touch. That's why we go. And I was so humbled that before I even got out of the airport, that country blessed me. And that was the most amazing thing. But as we spent time there, and I had gone with Marilyn McElroy with the medical team, and as I had the opportunity to walk with these local pastors and to encourage them and to share with them, I met Pastor Hassan from Kenya. He had driven 18 hours just to come in to meet us and to see us. And as he sat with me and told me his story, his church was one of the churches in the middle of the genocide that happened this past January, February in 2008. And our news told us that perhaps 1,000 people were killed in that conflict. It is at least 10,000 plus that were killed. And his church was in the middle of that. And he had a church of 270 people, and it was down to 30 by the time the genocide was over. Many of his congregation found themselves in the refugee camp and are still there. Some were killed. Many of their homes were burned. Pastor Hassan himself found himself in the refugee camp. And in a month or two after he was in there, he just prayed that God would release him from that refugee camp. He needed to go out and to be with his people. And he did. He just simply left and trusted God for that. And as he told me the terrible stories of the atrocities that happened and the tortures that some of his people suffered, was just unbelievable. And I'm not even going to share some of them this morning because of the graphic nature of them. But if you want to know some of the stories, I'll be happy to tell them to you. But as he told me the story, the grace of God that was so evident in his life was just absolutely incredible. And you folks this morning need to know that it is because of you that that grace rested on his life and head during that time. Because I see it in your bulletin that you have pledged to pray for the persecuted church and the pastors. You see what I'm saying? It's your prayers that help carry Pastor Hassan through that difficult time. So I trust you'll be encouraged with that. And I trust you will be so committed to ongoing prayer for those people. Because it does make a difference. Did you know that you made a difference in Pastor Hassan's life? You didn't know that, but you did. And Pastor Hassan will forever be a part of my life because I sat with him and he shared with me and I shared with him. And you will be forever connected to Pastor Hassan because you've heard the story. And that is what connects us. And from now on, we are connected to him in prayer. And in whatever way we can, because his story is now our story. And just 2 weeks ago, I received an email from him, and he told me the story of his sister who escaped from this refugee camp. And she committed suicide. At least they found her deceased. And they're not quite sure whether she committed suicide because of hopelessness or whether she was, in fact, her life was taken. We're not 100% sure. But there was one more person now that Pastor Hassan could call on and say, Ellen, will you pray for me? He needed to do the funeral, and to be able to say, yes, I will stand with you, is the most amazing thing in the world. And that is the best of the body of Christ at work in our world. And we are a part of that. This is not some drudgery. This is not some hard thing that God has placed on us. This is life at its best. It's the living water that we talk about that flows through us to someone else. And it is the most empowering thing to realize that, and the most encouraging thing, and it should just make us sing for joy and in worship. If we stop at the hardness of the stories, yes, it will indeed discourage us and cripple us in our spirit. But when we realize that this is the move of the body of Christ across the globe, and that people are finding the Lord because of it, it should make us rise up with new courage and fresh courage and say, yes, I'm on board, and I will never stop until Christ returns. That's what it's all about. And I know that's what you're about. In some of the places that we're involved in, some of the countries are El Salvador and Haiti and Mexico, and you'll hear some stories. And I can't tell you stories about all of them. I could, but you haven't quite agreed to being here all day. So I'm going to have to agree to not take your time all day. El Salvador, I just recently returned from there. Very recently. That's my line. I've just recently returned from somewhere. And I just realized how recent this actually was. Anyway, El Salvador, the most beautiful, beautiful God ministry has taken place there over the last six years, but particularly the last four. And this is a relief and development response, and you may very well remember it. After the earthquakes and the cyclones that ripped through El Salvador over 2001, 2002. Do you remember the response of the missionary church to that? Anyway, out of that the project and the pledge came to build 120 houses in the village of Las Brisas, where people literally lived in just plastic stretched over sticks and cardboard and little pieces of tin or whatever they could find to build their homes and shelters. And EMCC pledged at that point to move into that village and to build 120 homes for these families. And I'm standing here this morning to tell you that yesterday, the day before, Friday, we had a huge celebration with the community because all 120 homes are built. And every family has a home and a key to live in. And all of them, for the first time during a rainy season, will not get wet and drown in mud. And we have been a part of that. And the stories of salvation that have come out of that are absolutely amazing. And not even just for the families that got a new home, but a young police officer in this community, crime went down. As God's people began to move through there and reach out in love and care and put a couple of pieces of tin up to build homes, which incidentally look like that. And as they watched the crime go down, as the influence of God's love came to rest and to bear in that community, and he asked one of our team leaders, what really is going on and why are you doing this and what is this all about? They had the opportunity to share the love of God. And that young police officer knelt then and there and asked Jesus Christ into his life. And he will now move on and share what he has received in his heart and will share it with the rest of the community. And it was just the most beautiful thing to have the privilege to sit there and to watch the tears run down people's faces at what has transpired. And now we are going to move into another village, and we will continue to build these homes. We're going to move into a village that actually has a number of homes. This, incidentally, was the celebration place. Lots of balloons and streamers and whatever they could find to make the festivity a really, really nice time together. And, of course, you always have local talent participate, and these young ladies participated in the worship and praise time. This little girl, I want you to meet her, Melissa. She has leukemia, and that's her mom. You'll actually see President Phil in the picture as well. He happened to be there at the same time. But why I want to tell you this story is because this is the new area that we are going to be working in and building homes. And it's not a village where everybody needs a home, and so it'll be a little more scattered, a little harder to organize and all that kind of thing. So it'll be a challenge. So will you pray for that? But this little girl has leukemia and was very, very ill. And we had one more house left that we could build. We had four we were going to finish off. We finished and had one house, one team down there that could build one more. And the mayor came to us and said, would you build this family a house? Because this little girl is very, very sick, and the doctor said unless she gets a cleaner environment to live in and has better health conditions and better support, she will surely die. And our team set about to collect enough money to build a home for this family right then and there on the spot. And this is the village that we will continue to build homes in. We're already taking four teams in January, February, and March of 2009. And if you want to be involved in a team to El Salvador, the fall of 2009 is open for that. And this is just the people that you see in the background. That's a team from one of our churches in BC that were down there and helped with this project. One of the new projects that we're involved in Romania is in the southern part of Dragonești Alt, and that's where Kevin and Michelle Wepler are serving. Kevin and Michelle are one of the most dedicated. Well, not really. You are too. But you know what I mean. I love to see the passion of God's heart in people's lives. And I had the opportunity to walk with them for a week or two. And I'm sure if I had the opportunity to walk with you for a week or two, I'd stand here as well and say, you are the most passionate and committed people I have ever met. But they have responded to the call of God on their life and are fully committed to reaching the people in southern Romania. And our primary focus in Romania is the Gypsy people, who are a very, very despised people group in Romania, and to have the opportunity to walk with them, a community that's laced with fear and suspicion and all mixed in with with witchcraft and just demonic activity. And there's just an enormous dark presence in the southern part of Romania. Would you pray that God will move back the darkness in that area? And you may not be able to go, but if you can join a team to Romania and help us finish building this church that you see the foundation of, and Kevin and Michelle are involved in this church, if you're interested in a team there in the fall of 2009 to help build this church, please let me know. Volunteer teams gives you the opportunity to use your skills and gifts in one of the most tangible and practical ways. And you might think that I don't really have a skill or a gift. Yes, you do. And you know what? Even if you can't identify it, you say, well, I'm not a medical person. I'm not a building person. I'm not particularly a ministry person. You know what? You don't have to be particularly skilled in any of those. We need you. And the reason I know this is because I have no idea what medicine is past the Tylenol. And that's pretty much the truth. And I helped Marilyn with a medical team. It was the most amazing thing to watch them as they walked through communities. And I'm going to move on, see if I can find some of those pictures right here. This is the clinic where we started off in Tanzania. And from there, we moved out into remote villages and saw 1,200 people in 6 days. And it was amazing to be able to be a part of that and to help in the dispensary just to count pills. I could do that. And to help package them and to help put things in bags and just to sit with people and to hold babies as young moms brought people in that needed help and care. And partnering with the local doctors, and we try and do that on all of our medical teams if we can, is to find local doctors and nurses that we can partner with to resource them, to strengthen them in their own community. This isn't about coming and doing our thing. This is about coming alongside our national people, coming alongside our missionaries on the field and helping their ministry happen. These are three volunteers. None of them are medical people. And yet we're absolutely invaluable to have as part of the team. Halls are lined with people that come early in the morning waiting for medical attention. And just to be able to bring some relief to them from things that they've suffered for a long time. Many children have malaria and many, many other things. TB is on a huge uprise. And even in our own country, there's an enormous resurgence with TB in our country. And the most beautiful thing was as well to realize that local pastors had come, which we didn't even know was going to happen. And they were there early in the morning before we even got there and held a devotional time and a church time and a worship time with these people that came. So it became an outreach for them in their community. And young girls that came with their little siblings looking for help. Taking blood pressure, you can learn how to do that. It's really easy. I didn't think I could either, but it's not that hard. And then we'd go out into the villages in local mud-block churches and minister to people there. And you'll see the foundation off to the side of the church. That's a foundation that's been sitting there for 2 years waiting for someone to come to help build the church. And so we're looking at that as well to see how we can take a team in there to help them. Very primitive settings to administer the medical needs. And, of course, we look for any shade spot that we can find with temperatures of 30 to 35. It gets a little toasty, but I cooled off very quickly coming home, which I didn't particularly appreciate, actually. This little fellow has rickets. And when you're putting a team together and you're thinking of, wow, this takes a lot of money, and can we really afford to do this? Should we really be doing this? Let me encourage you and challenge you this morning to think of Mary when she bathed Jesus' feet with very, very expensive perfume. And what did people say to her? It wasn't economical. It wasn't good stewardship. It was too expensive. It was a waste. And what did Jesus say? It was such a blessing. And we need to move to that place. To be lavish. Yes, we need to be good stewards. But you know what? We get lots of sermons on good stewardship. So I'm going to give you one this morning on being lavish. Because we had a team that raised a significant amount of money. And people just gave and gave. And so we took all of it. It was way up and above what we really needed for that team. And we, because we totally believe that when we get there, there is going to be a moment, there's going to be someone who we are to bless with that money. And this little boy was the recipient of the extra funds. He will now have surgery. He will now be a little boy that will learn to walk, which he never would without that. So if we had just said, we're going to be really careful and we're not going to take any more money than what we absolutely need and we're going to really scrimp and do the best we can, we would not have been able to meet this little boy's needs. So be lavish when you go to bless someone. And that's just another picture of the foundation. A couple of building people on the team as well to help build a new office for the clinic. And I have to move through these quickly. Handing out mosquito nets in the local community. What a beautiful opportunity to walk into their homes. And these are all kinds of things that you would be involved in when you join a team. And to be able to protect children from mosquitoes that cause malaria. I want to move on to Rehoboth. You actually saw the pictures earlier in the Relief and Development brochure. But I want to tell you about the couple that responded to the call of God on their life to go to South Africa to minister to HIV/AIDS kids. And this is what they responded to. The call they heard on their life was to go to South Africa to hold little children that are dying from AIDS. And they responded expecting and fully thinking that that will be their job, that they will hold children and bring dignity as they die. It was all they expected. The amazing thing is when we respond to the call of God and when we obey God's touch on our life, He surprises us above and beyond. And as I sat with this young couple, they said to me, you know what? We now have a young teenage girl, and we didn't expect that. We thought she would be one of the children that would die. What do we do now? And I said, this is so awesome to have that problem. And we sat down and we began to talk and to strategize, because that's what I was involved in before with children's homes and helping children transition back into community and how that looks. And it was the most beautiful privilege to sit there and say, thank you, God, for giving us this privilege and this problem. In fact, the first thing we did was simply to stop and to pray and to thank God for health, for renewing life. And to just bring that encouragement to this young couple that they can take little babies like this that are literally on their deathbed and with care and love and medicine to nourish them back to health and to actually give these little children with AIDS the opportunity to have a life and to be able to go to a local school. Will they ever get off their medications? No, they won't. They will be on them for the rest of their life, but with good nutrition, good medication, good love and care, these children have a chance at life. And you saw the homes in the picture earlier. There's four little children in a home with a national mom who is the caregiver to the children. And I love the partnership that we have there with the nationals. When you join a team, when you participate in any way, shape, and form, and when you respond to the call of God on your life, whether it's in your community here, whether it's with shoeboxes with Samaritan's Purse, whether it's with your local Salvation Army, I think I saw in your bulletin, you will never be the same. And you will make a difference in someone's life, guaranteed. Because it's a God piece that you're orchestrating and responding to, and God always, always, always brings His own results. And God will use you in His harvest. He just does. He already has, and He will continue to. And I so trust that God will just pour out His enormous blessing on you in His fullest measure and capacity and will restore you with renewed energy if you've been tired. And that He will just expand the compassion that you already have. And that He will increase and enlarge your territory and take you to places that you've never gone before. And if we can be of any help to you, there's some prayer cards on the back. My business cards are back there with the contact information. Please take one And if I can pray with you, if I can encourage you, if I can answer any questions in any way, shape, or form, I'm happy to do that. We're here to partner with you. We are on mission together. And may the Lord just pour out himself abundantly on you and bless you enormously. God bless.